No. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. It just depends, you know, as the introduction here says, we can give encouraging words. We can give words that sort of empathize. And we can give words that are compassionate. Or we can give careless comments, rude remarks, and sarcastic smirks. In other words, we can either give something that encourages, or we can give some things that discourages. So you and I have great power. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about the power we have? The power to hurt someone deeply? The power to crush the spirit just by words? Or we can have the power to lift up hearts, to give people a desire to go on a little more, to encourage them when they feel like they're just down, way down, and there's no use, and you come along and give them an encouraging boost. What a great power we have. And I'm afraid sometimes we don't recognize that. We learned it when we were little. The other day, Mrs. Shee's grandchild, her little boy, Ethan, he hasn't talked. He just doesn't like to talk.
That's right.
So I was watching him on FaceTime, and he was walking over to the gate they have there between his playroom and his room. He turned around and he said, "Shay, Shay." Out of the blue, he said, "Shay, Shay." I thought he said the first word he said is Chinese. But, you know, we begin like that. We just learn these words and so forth. But all we don't recognize so many times, the great power we have. We don't just communicate, you know. We're actually constantly delivering little messages to people that reveals the true disposition of what? Of my heart, if we're honest. Now, we have sort of learned how to cover up some things. We can say things very, very sweet, or we can say things very professional, but it only lasts for a while. But then after a while, many times, we come up with what we really mean in our heart. You know, it's not just what we say, and it's not, but it's the way sometimes we say it. You can say, "You're a great person." You, a great person? Same words, but just the way we say it. The way you listen to others. Many, many problems in our life comes from the fact that we don't listen many times. We don't listen to the whole statement. We're not listening to their body language. And then we sort of take in the first part and then make our conclusions. And before you know it, we're having problems. Listening is an art in itself. We're not going to be talking about listening today. But listening is a tremendous part of communicating. But also, it's the way we look, the way we act, our body language. I remember a person that their father was really a good man, and it was outstanding in many ways. But he was a man that was always forgetting. He was a man that got all into his work and didn't come home sometimes, you know. He would take maybe one of the kids to the library where he was researching something and then forget to take him home. And so, but, you know, his wife was a very nice woman. She never said mean things, but you could see how she felt on her face. And someone was saying how her kids didn't respect him. And I thought to myself, it's not the words. I'm sure she doesn't say them, but just the body motion that she has when the body language she has that her children have learned and has conveyed a meaning. You know, we can say to our children, because our husband's always late, "Your dad's always late." You know? And so to them, their dad's always late. And after a while, after years of that, that becomes their idea of their dad. He's always late. Your dad never finishes anything. You know, and sometimes we say these things to our children and to others, and we don't mean the true force of it, but what they listen and hear, it gives them opinions of what the person is like. Now, I know we're not perfect, and I want to tell you that. If there's anybody that's not perfect, it's me. When it comes to all my life, I've been a person that sometimes have talked off the top of my head. And then I'll go home and feel so bad because I said something that maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. So I'm not an example. I'm just teaching today. I'm just taking it in right with you. You know, communication is satisfying relational communications is a process of verbal and nonverbal interactions with other in which thoughts and feelings are shared. So what we're really doing is we're trying to share our feelings and our thoughts with other people. And so they said it's verbal and nonverbal. As I was saying to you, it can be body language. It isn't always what we say. Many times it's the way we say it that connects with what you, oh, is that what you mean? Is that what you mean? How many times has this started something with family, with husband and wife, or maybe with sister-in-laws and sister-in-laws? You know, I've often watched in families where the family have been very congenial to each other growing up, and they loved each other, but then they got married. Did you notice something? And when they got married, you got brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws that came into the family. And you have there those that communicate sometimes things that will wreck the unity of a family. I've seen it. I've watched it. And so we can see then what we're communicating and what we're getting across. It's what we understand by both the words and the non-words. Verbal, of course, is the words that we speak out, the voice. Nonverbal is the body position. It's the facial expression. It's the way we, like we said, how we say it. It could be either a rough touch that we may give people. Many different things. As you read this and as you look over this, I hope you will, you'll find out there's many ways that we convey what we think and our feelings about things. I can usually tell when somebody doesn't really like me. Can't you? Or maybe you're not as blessed. I don't know if it's a blessing, I'll tell you the truth. But there's one person that is a wonderful person. They're very outstanding in their knowledge. And I've known them for many, many, many years. And I've even worked with them in some places. And so I know that the person is very, what shall I say, very straight. Don't like foolishness, you know. It's a person that doesn't like to have many people, is never close to people, you know. And a person that sort of keeps to themselves, but because of their abilities, and they're very nice too, they really shine. They really shine. But I knew through some of the years that person didn't like me. And the fact was, I really didn't blame them. Because I am, what do you say, I am, I call myself a sanguine, but I like fun. I like to joke. I like to say something to make people laugh. The other day, Lay was with me. She said, oh, Sister Schwartz, I'd like to go with you. You're so much fun. Well, it would depend on how I feel. But the fact is, I recognize that person. So you know what? I treat them kindly, but I don't get in their way. Not because I have anything in my heart. I respect them and love them. But I understand why the message has gotten through to me that I stay my distance. So people many times can bring, we can begin to understand how people feel. But one thing you have to be careful of with this, and that is that you don't read into things against people. Many times, if you're a person that what we call melancholy, that's very, very sensitive, that when somebody says something, it goes right to your heart instead of thinking it through. And you can really be hurt very easily. Many times, your type of personality will get hurt without it really being meant by the person. I've had them come to me and they'll say, Sister Schwartz, they're very distant now. And I didn't mean anything. I don't even know what I said. So you have to be careful sometimes how you read people, that you're not just too sensitive and they trouble you. Well, let's look on the method of communication that pleases God. You see, this, I'm a Christian counselor, and this is my goal. My goal is to help people mature in the things of God. And as we mature in them, we begin to know ourselves, and we begin to know others. And if we have a purpose, if we have a principle, people don't have many principles today. Do you know that Al Gore has sold his radio station to Al Jazeera? So when we say if people's got principle, but we want to have principle. And as a Christian, we do. And the method of communication that most pleases God is one that reflects the life of Jesus in all that you say and do. Now, we're not always going to be able to keep up to that standard. But the thing about it is, if we keep reaching for it, we'll get closer to it. And as we do this, God will bless us. Allow him to express his words and actions, through you. And there are many times that God will do that. He'll say, something comes into you, you never even thought of, and you say, maybe this is it. And sure enough, the person said, I believe that is the problem. And where did it come? It come from the Holy Spirit that within us, that's able to use us. You see, that's the difference. He wants to be able to use us. He wants to be able to, that we be his hands and his feet, and wonderfully much his mouth. So we see then that that is what we need to reach out to. Now some say, I'll never get like that. No, you never will unless you begin to work toward it. Unless you begin to say to God, I tell you, I'm 100 times better than when I was young. I've asked the Lord to help me not to be too funny. I've asked the Lord to help me to be serious. And God has really helped me. I'm not so much ashamed of myself as I used to be. But I know that God worked on me. I'm more careful now when I say things. I try to say those things which will help people and not hurt. Sometimes people say, well, you're just kind. You just always are saying, being kind to people. That's the thing that God has helped me with through the years. How to be kind, more loving, more caring, not really wanting to hurt people. I don't want to hurt people. Whenever I feel like I said something to hurt someone, I am under terrible conviction. I feel it badly. And so maybe you might say, but Sister Schwartz, I just think, ask God to help you with this. Ask God to give you direction. What are some guidelines for effective communication? And that one is warmth. One of them is warmth. Conveying acceptance and courtesy. Being warm toward people. When people talk to you, not to snap them. Not to turn away from them. But being a person that is warm and a person that is approachable. Sometimes people, you say, well, people don't like me, or I have no friends. It's because sometimes we're not approachable. We're not warm. And certainly we live in a world that doesn't want to be around people that hurt and just act like, that they don't care. We want, people gravitate to a warm person. I know that. When I go out shopping and when I go out to places and of business. Many times, by the time I leave, I know that person. I'm just that kind of person. I talk to them, and I going along, you know, I'll smile and nod my head. I have learned that we live in a world that is so empty of that and so longs for it that people even watch you to wonder what's wrong with you. I think when you're the warm. When I go to a restaurant, I like to be nice to the waitresses. You know, I might go back again, and they might be nicer to me. You know, never know. No, but I do. I liked it. That was the thing that hit me the hardest, the very hardest when I went to China. That really knocked me for a loop. Do you all know what I mean? You've been to restaurants, haven't you, when you're in China? You would go to maybe one where you all sat in a room, round table, food. And so these were Christians that would take us, and we would go. And when I first went, that I recognized it so much. And my, how they treated the waitresses. Oh, it hurt me so bad. And I'm there trying to be nice to them while they're over there. So we don't want to live our life like that. Life is too short. I know I have an innate personality toward that. I recognize that. I'm a sanguine. But I also know that some of you would have more of it if you did a little more of it. We want to be warm. We want to be genuine. This is one of the greatest compliments that people can really say to you. You're really a genuine person. A genuine person is one that has no hidden agendas. We're not after anything. You're not wanting anything. You're just yourself. And do you know how hard it is many times to find people that are just themselves? When we go into board meetings, we get our board meeting face on. When we go into in among some of our friends that are, you know, we get our friend face on. You don't know. My aunt, she was a character. She's worse than me. She would tell lies. But anyhow, she always wanted to make the story bigger. One time, several times, we got as far as Nova Scotia, but we up to Maine, where you cross over to Nova Scotia. And we had wanted to go, but something happened. We never got to take the boat. So we were coming back down. We stopped at a motel. We got out, and we went in. The man said, "How's your trip?" "Oh," she said, "it's wonderful. We flew over Nova Scotia." My mother's there. My mother was an honest person. Anyway, you find people that you don't know whether to believe them or not. You don't know what they say. So it's very good to be a person that's genuine, just yourself. And then another thing, we want to have some empathy. Now, empathy is not sympathy. Sympathy kills. Sympathy is when we try to cover up, try to keep from them getting the harm, try to take away some of the hurt. We can't do that, you know? And when we do, it makes the person sometimes dependent on us. And it also makes them even worse. But let me tell you, when it comes to empathy, that means, you know, one time our Americans have the saying, you know, and unless you walk in an Indian's moccasins, you don't know what he's going through. And so many times we see others in the same circumstance. And oh, how they feel good when I remember in China, about 2 years ago, I think, 2-3 years ago, there was a man that came. He was a middle-aged man. He had been in business, and he was having depression. And so he came, and he was talking to me, and he was telling me about his depression. And he said about, they want to give me pills, and he went on to talk, you know, and he was really down. And I said to him, "You know what? I have depression at times too, and I have to take medicine for it." "You do?" I said, "Yes, I do." He became, if you had seen that man, all of a sudden he was look happy because I had have it too. You know, there's something about it when somebody knows that you've gone through it. Oh, I'm not the only one. I'm not crazy. I'm not, well, you might have thought I was crazy, but I don't know. But anyhow, that empathy that we can give them many times helps them so much. We're walking in another person's shoe. You know, it's so easy. My mother, bless her dear heart, every time I got sick and I was laying in the bed, she was telling me why I'm laying there. You didn't do you didn't take your medicine. You didn't go out. You didn't eat this. You didn't. Oh, any time I got sick, she let me know what made me sick. And I want to tell you, that wasn't empathy. So actually, some of us are a little bit that way, you know. But if we could do that, let's look at the Ten Commandments of godly communication. I want us to recognize that there are some things that you and I can do to help ourselves. Like it says here, your words are to be true. God doesn't take half-truths or little white lies. He wants truth from us. And many times, truth will set you free. It was Corrie Ten Boom's sister. When the Gestapo came in, the Germans came in, what they would do is they would come in and take the sons and put them in the army there in Holland. And what she did, her sister, she had a hole that, or she had a door that opened up into the cellar. So she always put her rug over that and her table over that door. And so when they came in, they said, "Where are your sons?" "Down there." They looked at her. "I said, where are your sons?" "Down there." They finally got aggravated with her and left. She told the truth. They didn't believe her. I've always been impressed with that story. Your words are to be pleasing to God. That's really, I don't know, sometimes when they're pleasing to God, let me tell you, they're pleasing to others. So let us try that. Your words are to be life-giving, not hurting. If what you say is going to hurt somebody, don't say it. Try to give them something that'll lift them. This is what we are. We are reconcilers. He said, "I've given you the ministry of reconciliation." That's what God has given us. He said, "This is what I want you to be." He knows all the things that goes on in this world. He understands it all. He knows what the world needs is people to reconcile things, not to tear things apart. And I believe if we recognize this and understood this, maybe we would be a little more tolerant in our families instead of right away blowing up and going our way and all the things that happens to marriages. Your word should be encouraging. I love to encourage people. Now, there's some people it's hard to encourage, you know. It is, but I like to encourage people, and your word should be encouraging. Your words are to be gracious. It's sort of like, you know, they're be kind. We speak in a nice way. We don't use words that hurt, but we use words that are gracious to the people. Words that are wise. And you know, if we're really belonging to God and to Jesus, he said that the mind of Christ can be in is in us. If we are his and working, then he can give us wisdom. I don't say this for myself because I know me. But when I go to China, I don't have much time with people. I really don't. They come and I talk to them. Maybe I get to talk to them twice, but maybe not even that, but once. But I am often amazed at what God gives me to help those people in one session. And I know it's not me. I know it's not me. I remember one woman that really, she was ready to leave her husband. She was angry. She came just because her husband asked her to come. And as I sat there, it was pretty late at night, and I knew she was defensive. She was, you know, just. And so I'm praying, "Lord, send her home. I'm tired." That was my prayer. I'm being honest. I'm a very truthful, honest person. I was tired, and I knew she wasn't getting anywhere. I knew she was just defensive. Instead, he said to me, or how I did it, I said it, I don't know. But then I said to her something about her past. And you know, she broke down. She told us all about something that was very difficult in her life. And we were able to show her. And they stayed married. Now, it wasn't me. God knows I was ready to go home. I mean, I was ready to go to bed. But God knew, and he gave me wisdom. And God can give you wisdom. He says that. If you want wisdom, pray, ask of me, and I will give it to you. So we need to be people. Our words, now this is the one that hits me often. Our words should be few. I wouldn't have gotten so much trouble in my life if I didn't talk so much. But I recognize, and I don't know that I'm too much better. When I get a cup of coffee in me, I'm motor mouth. Just ask those ladies that come to the women's meetings. But if you can help yourself, I'm trying to, even in the board meetings, sometimes you know, I'm trying very hard not to talk too much. But the fact is that we need, the more you talk, the more trouble you're going to get into. You know that? Sometimes when you find out things are going, keep your mouth shut when things aren't perking right. Okay, you say things timely. I was thinking about my friend. She died last February. It's not a year yet. But we all were invited to a Thanksgiving dinner. She was very sick. She had lost her hair. She, you know, that kind of thing. She was sick. And so the group of us was sitting there. And do you know what our conversation turned to? How are we going to pay for our funerals? How, you know, if we pay now, we won't have to worry about it later and all kinds of things like that. And how we were going to be buried. Some of us were going to be cremated. And I thought afterwards, wasn't that terrible? She finally said, let's not talk like this. So you see, we were not talking very timely. And many times when you get with a sickness, somebody says, oh, yes, my aunt had that and she died. So this is the kind of thing you have to be careful with. Your words are to be an investment. They're to bring something good. And your words are to be loving. Now, let's look at the other opposite side. And I'm afraid I'm running out of time. Let's look at the opposite side, the words. These are the words that are negative words. And these are the words that wound, that hurt. One of them is degrading words. Thoughtless words, insensitive, not caring about how it hits others. It's words that are teasing sometimes, but we're just doing it to try to hurt the person. Coarse words, tactless. There's just so many there that as you look over them, and as you look over this, you'll see the degrading words, the ones that pull people down. Why do we do that? Many times it's to lift us up. So we pull people down to make ourselves better, make ourselves feel better. And then we have demanding words, orders. We do have people who are very demanding. And sometimes because they're demanding, we put on the brakes. You know, we may do it in a nice way, but we put on the brakes. We're just not going to be obedient to everything. But people who are demanding, they order, they threaten, they argue, they accuse. They have angry words. They're demanding that you do what they want you to do. We have no right to do that. Now, we're not going to change people, and there's nothing in anything that says that anybody has to follow your orders, except when you're a doctor. You better follow if you want to get well. But when we become a person who has to have our way, and we use these demanding words, you know, there are many good leaders that they don't use those kind of words. They use words that sort of pep you up, or you want to go along with them. You want to be a part of what it is. Then you have the words that are destructive words, gossiping, repeating. And those are very critical. You know, when you think gossip, well, there's, you know, I'll tell you the truth. You can't be together long, usually, before you're not gossiping. So you have to be very careful. But gossip really hurts people. It makes others look down on them. It makes others feel that to believe you. And many times, you know, I remember one time somebody told me, and we were talking together, and they told me about this lady dying and all this kind of thing. And I went home and I told my folks, this so-and-so died. They did? Oh, they did? So they sent a sympathy card. She hadn't died. Yeah, I was in trouble. You can't believe everything people tell you. So remember, we don't want demanding words or demeaning words. Those are ones that are demoralizing, pulls you down. It's the words that lecture you and judge you. You're not a judge. I've learned that in life. The Lord showed me in a very real way. I don't judge because I'm not in the position to judge. I don't know the whole circumstances. You know, many times on Facebook they have prayer requests and they have a lot of problems. And I know that there's two sides to every problem. I don't try to judge them. I pray for them. Maybe write a little thing there to help them. But we don't judge people. We're trying to lift them up. Slander, words that wants to hurt, words that want you to turn from someone, words that can cut, words that can almost kill, okay? And then we have deceitful words, lying, false statements, bragging, flattering, all kinds of things that are deceitful. So we don't want to have that. Now, what we have left, and I think it's almost 12:30. It is 12:30. Oh, my. Okay. What we have left here is some of it. It's really what helps us to be able to do what God wants. By production of this thinking, by wanting to do what God wants, our heart that can be honest before God, a heart that's honest with others, hearts that can see the needs of others, a heart that communicates God's love to others. This is what he's wanting from us. With Christ in you, the motivation to reach out, to listen with care, to be loving and fair, to serve others and share. I wonder if we took this as the principle of our marriage, and that each one would work on this, that we have a motive to reach, to listen with care, to be loving and fair, to serve others and share. Wouldn't that be, I think it would revolutionize many, 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 many people. Okay, the last part is who is in control. We have to give him control. Give God control of your life. He will enable you to harness the power of your words through applying these practical insights. We dare to live a life that pleases God. Oh, it is a wonderful, wonderful way to live. We're not always successful, but we're always striving, and it pays off. We pray for humility and gentleness and patience and forgiving. Seek to keep peace and have a oneness of spirit with all. Make union with God's Spirit your goal. Know that your power for control is in unity with Christ. With Christ is controlling in controlling your will, and give up your childish insecurities. These are lessons, all of them in themselves. But I'm just giving them to you today because this is the way God wants us to live. And this is the way to live a happy life. And this is a way to live a life that's more contented. Because my whole life is driven by the fact that I want to be like Jesus. I may never be what everyone else wants me to be, but if I can just be more and more like him. And that when we reach and touch people, it will make a difference. And we do want to make a difference. This world is filled with anger, hate, filled with hurt, filled with those that want to hurt one another, filled with those that are trying to get your job, filled with all kinds of things like this. That's why we don't want to live on that platform. We want to live where God can make us a person that even though they don't like us, they trust us. Even though they don't like us, they know we're truthful. Even though they don't like us, they know that we're always trying to help. May God bless you this morning. Time to go get your coffee. Thank you for coming.